3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It is 95.3 WBEV and Community Comment. And before we get rolling with the action here with Terry Bell, wanted to remind you it is presented by Professional Floor Covering and Abbey Design Center at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. Visit their website, proflr.com. They are locally owned. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space with over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. And speaking of their countertops, if you want your kitchen or bathroom to look fresh, the material, color, and pattern of a countertop all play a major role in how a kitchen or bathroom model will turn out. They offer a large selection of quartz, granite, marble, and laminate countertops, and they will help you find the perfect countertop that fits with both your lifestyle and design. And now, without further ado, we will get today rolling here for Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, with Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake, and welcome to Community Comment. We're just coming off a weekend of unprecedented, really historic at least, rainfall and flooding in southeast Wisconsin. Obviously, the Milwaukee area getting the worst of it, although we did see some flooding as far north as Iron Ridge in Dodge County. And further north, there was storm damage reported in Door County. So quite a stormy weekend in southeast Wisconsin. To talk about it for the first half hour of Community Comment today is Adam Roberts, a reporter for WTMJ Radio in Milwaukee, our sister station there with Good Karma Brands. Adam, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Not hearing Adam. I don't know if we're having a connection issue.
Hello, Terry. I'm there.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
Doing good.
Tired, I can imagine.
Oh, you would be right to say that. It has certainly been a long and arduous stretch of about 36 hours or so for everyone down here.
My goodness. So we had an inkling late last week that we might be in for some rain late on Saturday. When did you know that your weekend as a reporter, that it was going to be very busy covering everything happening on such a wide stretch of territory?
So I think the first inkling was once we started to get details coming from Wisconsin State Fair Park in West Allis, once we started seeing whether it was the videos of fairgoers who were out and about showing just the amount of water that was falling over that consecutive period of hours or so during the fair on Saturday night, that's when things started to really kind of take hold. I mean, we had an idea going into the weekend that there was going to be rain and that there would be flooding concerns, but once those images started to come from the West Allis area, from portions of northwest Milwaukee, which we'll touch on in a moment, but that was really the moment where it went from the kind of flooding that we will see, whether it's in the spring after a snowfall runoff or things like that, from that to this now, they're referring to it as a 1,000-year flood kind of situation that we found ourselves in.
How remarkable is it that the number of incidents, I mean, there are widespread property damage for sure, especially to infrastructure, but in terms of fatalities or injuries, we seem to have gotten through this relatively well.
Relatively speaking, I think it's still a little too early to say. The emergency management systems are very much stressed across the area. There were moments during the evening on Saturday when in the Waukesha area, there just were people that were being told, I'm sorry, we just don't have people to send out to you. So parsing through all of that information is going to be a days-long process. At least, though, as far as right now, yeah, you're right. We haven't really heard any direct deaths related to the flooding. We will be hearing from Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson later today. He is expected to give an update around 11:30 this morning on things that are going on within the city of Milwaukee itself. I know we're hearing near Oak Creek, there was a water rescue near 27th Street earlier today. So there's still actively an emergency response going on. So we will see if that relates to injuries. But as of right now, nothing to speak of, at least to the extreme level.
the thing about being a reporter is when something catastrophic happens, your job is to run headlong into the catastrophe. Mm-hmm. What did you see that really stood out to you, and how concerned were you ever at any point for your safety?
We're very fortunate to have a really a strong and secure news management system that tells us, hey, the story is important, but your personal safety, number one concern. So they're not going to put us in a situation where we would ever be in danger of, for example, at the worst possible level, falling into a floodwater area. I was near the Milwaukee River, not too far from my place of residence in the city, and what stood out to me was if you ever are in Milwaukee and are heading over to the east side, there's a big bridge on North Avenue that will take you over to the, I guess, entertainment district area. And the water that flows beneath that bridge from the river is usually about ankle high. When I was walking by it on early Sunday morning and reporting from that location, the rapids that had formed at that area of the river were remarkable to see. And this is brown, murky, muddy water just gushing past you. And then just about, I'd say, 100, 200 feet away, there's a couple playing with their German Shepherd in the standing water nearby. And I had to just step in and say, hey, guys, I don't want to tell you what to do, but you look over to your left and there's this giant roaring rapid of water not too far away from you. I just would hate for your dog to run off and then you got an awful situation. That's the one moment that stood out to me from the weekend.
Certainly. We're talking to Adam Roberts of WTMJ, 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee, who has done a yeoman's work covering the flooding in Milwaukee this weekend. We are going to take a quick break here, then be right back on Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Vamos a la playa conmigo, Wally Lukashensky. When we head to Mexico, no Spanish speaking required. Memory-making travel and WBEV are teaming up for the Waves, Beaches, Escapes, and Vibes getaway the first week of February 2026. It will be a vacation filled with incredible memories and nonstop excitement with yours truly, as well as our very own Charlie Dern. We'll partake in the fun and keep those who sadly have to stay at home updated as well. The paradise you dream of is tucked away in an exclusive adults-only gated beachfront community just 35 minutes north of the Cancun airport at the beautiful Secrets Playa Mujeres Golf and Spa Resort. Imagine white sand beaches, spacious suites, 16 bars and dining venues, entertainment, and a world-class spa. Steps from a Greg Norman 18-hole golf course. Enjoy paradise. Head to DailyDodge.com, discover more regarding the accommodations, and book with Holly at Memory Making Travel today. Don't delay. Limited rooms are available for the Waves, Beaches, Escapes, and Vibes getaway.
Step into a world so fine, shiny floors that truly shine, tiles and wood you'll adore, get it all at Professional Floor. Showers, blinds, counters too, everything just like brand new. They've got what you're looking for, only here at Professional Floor.
Okay, full disclosure, we still don't sing here, but since I've got the mic, let me drop some knowledge. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. Whether you're looking for cabinets, blinds, flooring, or more, we're here to make your home look amazing. Check out our showroom to explore our wide range of luxury vinyl plank flooring. Need a bathroom makeover? We've got custom marble and ceramic showers and countertops to elevate your space. And if you're thinking kitchen upgrade, our cabinet and porcelain tile selection is top notch. Take a look online at proflr.com and stop in to visit us at 713 Park Avenue. Time to hand the mic back.
Beaver Dam Unified School District Superintendent Marcus Stefano joins us this Thursday at 11:10 a.m. at the Dodge County Fair, live at the Good Karma Brands Park at the WDS Construction Stage, presented by Newman Pools. Mark will discuss back-to-school updates and celebrate the amazing Beaver Dam students representing at the fair. Parents, partners, and community members alike can hear what's ahead for the 2025-26 school year. Let's talk live with Beaver Dam Unified School District Superintendent Marcus Stefano Thursday at the Dodge County Fair.
If you've been injured in an accident, QBS Law can help. QBS will manage your claim so you can focus on what's most important, getting better. Located in Beaver Dam and Mayville, QBS has been a local law firm in your corner since 1902. If you've been injured in an accident or have been injured by dangerous medical products or prescription drugs, call QBS in Beaver Dam at 920-885-9266, in Mayville at 920-387-2400, and online at qbslaw.com.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
This is 95.3 WBEV. Here is Community Comment with Terry Bell.
620 WTMJ's Adam Roberts about all the flooding that happened this weekend in Milwaukee County. And Adam, I think one thing that struck us who live just far enough away to have escaped the worst of it was the fact that the Brewers went ahead and played a game on Sunday when the parking lot, there were flooded cars in the parking lot. There wasn't as much available parking, much of the parking lot itself was flooded. Do you have any idea what kind of discussions were happening as to, you know, whether or not Sunday's game should be postponed?
So my understanding is that decision comes from the top. We're talking the MLB Commissioner's Office, Rob Manfred. They're the ones that ultimately make that call. I know President of Business Operations Rick Schlesinger was speaking just before the game was set to kick off with first pitch yesterday, and that was kind of the message that was relayed. Like, these were the decisions that were being made at the top, relayed to us, and then we as the team are responsible for executing. But as you mentioned, Terry, those images were striking to see as people are walking over that walkway that takes you from some of the parking lots over Brewers Boulevard to the main lot areas, and you can just see this lake that is formed on Highway 175 with cars still floating in the standing water. It was quite something to see.
One comment I saw on social media, which struck me as, you know, seemed pretty reasonable, but, you know, was it a good idea to send 45,000 baseball fans into this emergency area for an afternoon at the ballpark?
That's definitely something to consider. I know, just anecdotally and personally, I knew that if I had had tickets to the game, I probably would have passed on going, just for the reason that there was going to be a limited amount of parking available. So even theoretically, if you were driving from, let's just say, Beaver Dam down to Milwaukee late for a game, you may have been turned away because there just would be no place to put you in the parking lot. So logistically, certainly a challenge. I do know that, you know, Rick and his team working the business side of things for the Brewers, they have to go through a lot of different boxes to check off to make sure that they can make this happen. And there were lots available for people, but certainly considering just how many people showed up for the game, that was the other interesting thing, was you'd think, okay, maybe it'll be half capacity or something like that, just given the magnitude of what's going on. But American Family Field was packed about as much to the brim as it could have been expected given the situation, which was pretty remarkable.
Absolutely. And you had, on the flip side, the decision to call off the final day of the Wisconsin State Fair. They erred on the side of caution, it would seem.
That's right. So we spoke with CEO of the fair, Sherry Black, this morning on the Wisconsin's Morning News program, and she mentioned that they also had their boxes that they were checking, and once lightning first hit, well before any of the heavy rain arrived, that was their first sign to make the moves that they ended up needing to make to get people out of there. But you, I'm sure, Terry, saw the videos just like we did of people opening their car doors on the infield pit and waterfalls cascading out of their vehicles. So even though they made the call that they did, it still wasn't quick enough for people to escape their cars being watered in. And now as we sit here today on a Monday, they're working to make sure that they can get that infield pit clear, because keep in mind, we got Milwaukee Mile races coming up in just a couple of weeks. And Sherry mentioned that how much of a lifeblood it is for State Fair Park as an organization to make sure those events happen as scheduled. So they got a lot of work to do. The South End seems like it's pretty much a waterlog at this point. Even still, they're kind of squeegeeing things away, but they don't have a lot of time here. Those races are coming up in just a few weeks.
And that's right. They're going to try and have those races regardless.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Certainly. So next comes, you know, now we're enmeshed in the cleanup, weather emergency declared for Milwaukee County. What exactly does that entail?
So as of right now, what that means for, let's just say, the average resident who's wondering how will this impact my day-to-day, it essentially means there will be more funds made available for those who have damage to their property, for those who are immersed right now in cleanup efforts. There will be extra state and federal funds that are sent to the Milwaukee County area to assist in those efforts. And it was interesting. We spoke with emergency management in neighboring Waukesha County, which also saw double-digit rain amounts in the Menominee Falls area, the Butler area. The emergency management there, though, says they don't seem to need any extra assistance. I know Governor Tony Evers made available the resources of the Wisconsin National Guard to Milwaukee County. In Waukesha County, they said that isn't necessary, that they have things under control. But for the average person, a state of emergency essentially means that extra funding will be made available for those who need it, essentially, as they continue their cleanup efforts.
There seems to be a lot of confidence in that. I know there was a lot of concern during the height of the DOGE budget cuts that, you know, FEMA money for communities like Milwaukee when these sorts of natural disasters happen would not be there, at least not to the extent that we've become accustomed.
Right, and that's certainly something we saw in Texas, which also itself recently went through a money even grander scale, arguably the flooding that was hitting the central part of that state and the rollout that was and is still ongoing there. As far as people that I have spoken with emergency management, they haven't reached the point yet where they're saying we're not confident these funds will arrive. What will be interesting to see as we get further away from the raw, immediate impact of still just beginning those initial cleanup efforts, once we get, let's say, a week, 2 weeks out, if we start hearing from people, hey, those funds were told they would be available, where is that money? That's the next follow-up on this.
You mentioned Governor Evers. Is the National Guard going to be called in to help with the situation?
So I've been trying to reach the National Guard's main office. I have not been able to contact them as of yet. However, what I'm gathering is we may learn more about that from the mayor when he speaks at one of the drop-off centers in the city where they're expanding their hours for people to bring in their mess, essentially, from their flooded basements. The mayor will be speaking within the hour, and we expect to learn more potentially on what that guard rollout could look like if they are, in fact, deployed.
I'm curious to know, we've been talking a lot about the official response, Adam, but I would be interested to know what you've seen from just everyday people and how they've dealt with all of this.
What really has stood out to me is the amount of water rescues that we've seen, not just in Milwaukee, but all across southeast Wisconsin. I mentioned earlier we had one in Oak Creek just this morning still, well after the initial round of rain. What has been so interesting to see is whenever you have these massive 1,000-year flood situations, it kind of has a unique impact. In despite being a tragic and awful event, it really does bring this community, it brings community members together in a way that you just don't usually see every single day, because we're all in it together. We're all dealing with the same exact situation. Let's work together to get through it. And so you see people calling out to emergency people in the area, hey, there's someone crawling onto a branch near the Root River, come and rescue them. Or you'll see in Hart Park over the next few weeks, likely in Wauwatosa, where their football field has been completely destroyed. There's turf wrinkled up. It almost looks like waves on the ocean just from how much water is pushed up. That field will have to be made ready because high school football, as you know, it starts earlier than ever now in southeast Wisconsin and across the state. Those games are coming up in just a few weeks. So getting that sort of thing, which is such a community hub, high school football every fall, set up will be really interesting to see.
620 WTMJ's Adam Roberts, who's been just doing terrific work covering this historic event, writing the first draft of history on an event that people will be talking about in Milwaukee for generations to come, I'm sure. Adam, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day to speak with us, and get some rest when you can, okay?
I'll try, Terry. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to take a break for the news, then be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Professional wrestling returns to Good Karma Brands Park at the Dodge County Fair Saturday, August 16th, as Frozen Tundra Wrestling presents Radio Park Rumble 2. See four-time WWE Tag Team Champ Heath Slater and former WWE NXT Superstar Renee Michelle, along with Beaver Dam's own Baker Boys and Chase McCoy. The Radio Park Rumble is presented by the Gruber Law Office, United Electric, Johnny's Lounge, and EK. The Radio Park Rumble 2, August 16th, bell times at 5 o'clock. Be there.
From the biggest stars to the greatest moments, Behind the Bucks is Bucks history like you've never heard it before. Go behind the scenes of the Emmy-nominated Giannis documentary. Get the real story of the blockbuster trade for Damian Lillard. Hear the origin of Bucks in 6. It's all on Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Available now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get podcasts.
The two best things in life are a great sleep from Slumberland Furniture and your favorite radio station. This is 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, live from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump meeting with reporters in the White House briefing room shortly after writing on social media that he has a plan, he says, to end crime, murder, and death in Washington, D.C. The comments follow an influx of federal law enforcement officers in the city over the weekend. The president preparing for Friday's summit in Alaska with Vladimir Putin about ending the war in Ukraine, even though, says ABC's Martha Raddatz,
the Ukrainian president is left on the sidelines of this week's meeting. Several European leaders, including France, Germany, and the UK, issuing a joint statement insisting the path to peace in Ukraine cannot be decided without Ukraine.
Transcripts of the secret grand jury testimony that led to the indictment of Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, will not be released, a judge has decided. Cleanup underway today in southeast Wisconsin following severe flash flooding over the weekend. Numerous people had to be rescued from cars in Milwaukee. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell. Southeast Wisconsin is going through an historic rainfall event. Several inches of rain fell this weekend, mostly in Milwaukee and Waukesha counties, in only a short period of time. Thousands of homes and businesses were left without power. Streets became rivers and lakes, and basements flooded. Closer to home, the water washed out railroad tracks in Iron Ridge. The full extent of the damage may not be known for days or weeks. A 12-year-old child is dead after a UTV rollover Saturday. Columbia County deputies were called to a farm in Wyosina Township at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The child was trapped underneath the machine and declared dead after authorities arrived. Dane County deputies are investigating after a person was found dead in a manure pit in Sun Prairie on Saturday. There's no indication of any threat to community safety. Dodge County groups and nonprofits are getting more than $23,000 from the Alliant Energy Foundation. So far this year, the foundation has given out nearly $1.3 million. There's one more grant cycle left this year. And more people would get training to use EpiPens if an area congressman has anything to say about it. Representative Glenn Grothman is reintroducing his bipartisan bill called Dillon's Law, which would encourage more EpiPen training and protect people with proper training from civil lawsuits if they use the tool in good faith and things go wrong. I'm Terry Bell from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at DailyDodge.com.
Becoming mainly sunny with fog and spots early today, with daytime highs approaching 85. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain showers tonight, lows level off around 66, partly cloudy skies. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow, chance for storms, high temperatures reach up to 83. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, it's 72 degrees.
Hey, it's Stacy with Slumberland. Celebrate our anniversary sale with 58% off of list prices for 58 years. Check out these amazing deals. This Linden three-piece chaise sectional for only $15.99 made by Ashley Furniture. Or this amazing sofa at only $599. We have bedsteads starting at $349, and we have dining sets starting as little as $399. Amazing Lazy Boy deals for this Lazy Boy Vail Rocker recliner available in two color options. Shop local and save big with us during our anniversary sale going on right now at Slumberland Furniture, Beaver Dam, and Watertown.
Sports Talk Radio with a local emphasis. Green Bay football, Milwaukee basketball and baseball, Wisconsin college sports, and of course, Beaver Dam Golden Beavers athletics. Recaps, coaches interviews, top three plays, and much more. Listen as Corey Sparks has a daily battle putting up with me, Wally Lukashensky. We are the Dam Sports Show. Hear us from 4 until 5 each weekday on the Daily Dodge YouTube page and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
This is Matt Heyer from Heyer Insurance and Estate Planning. Are you nervous about retirement? Has your income plan been battle-tested? No worries. Call us at Heyer Insurance, where our team gets to know each client's individual story, and we educate how to solve problems while creating opportunities in the way that best impacts your retirement journey. We work closely with clients to develop comprehensive plans and manage them to optimize results. For a complimentary consult, call us, 920-887-0580. And remember, when you want to retire, call Heyer.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Welcome back to community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. And we are just about to jump into more of the action here, but wanted to remind you that community comment is brought to you in part by McKinstry's Home Furnishings. They are in downtown Beaver Dam on Front Street under the red awning, celebrating their 167-year anniversary. They have picture framing services. McKinstry's Home Furnishings stocks a large selection of picture frame moldings and conservation mattings and glass. This ensures prompt and proper professional framing of your needlework, family photos, wedding pictures, oil paintings, wildlife prints, and award certificates. They've even framed a guitar. Best of all, you will be amazed at the low everyday prices. Let McKinstry's sales designers help you select just the right frame and matting to enhance the beauty of your artwork as well as your home. Take your frameable pieces to McKinstry's Home Furnishings. You will be very happy you did. And now, without further ado, here's more community comment on 95.3 WBEV, and here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake. We're going to switch gears somewhat on community comment now. We have a new guest, but we're still going to be talking about such a crazy weekend we had with the weather in southeast Wisconsin. We're joined for the rest of the program by Washington County Executive Josh Showman. Josh, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
This is your regularly scheduled appearance. You join us about once a month or so, but as it so happens, you join us on a day when your county is right smack dab in the middle of the news.
Yeah, and for not the type of reasons you want, right? This, I guess what's now being called the thousand-year flood has heavily impacted our county. Maybe not quite as bad as Milwaukee or Waukesha, it appears, so I'd ask all your listeners to keep our neighbors in your prayers, and we've declared an emergency here in Washington County, as I've seen in other counties, and we're working at the speed of business to try and get things back to their normal state.
That emergency declaration, what does that officially put into motion?
Yeah, so we issued it yesterday, and what it allows us to do is to move rapidly and begin the process to qualify for any potential emergency management grants or loans from the state, and more specifically, the federal government through FEMA, when that time is right. So when we do that, we generally try to work with our municipal partners. For example, in the town of Farmington, which is far northeast Washington County, they had a bridge abutment that completely washed out. And in the village of Germantown in far southeast Washington County, they have had a couple of road issues, including a culvert that's completely washed out. So those are the types of things where the county, under an emergency declaration, can deploy resources immediately without having to go through the typical approval processes to get those roads open as fast as possible and, of course, protect life and property.
How much of a disruption will the loss of these roads be for the time being? Are these heavily traveled? Are these more out-of-the-way routes?
Yeah, fortunately, these two in particular are more out-of-the-way. The one in Farmington actually is such that it might be a minute or two delay for someone, but they can easily take another route, both residents who live on each side of the waterway. And then in Germantown, it's very much the same. So, you know, we got another, I think, 3 inches of rain last night. So all of this will take time to crest. And, of course, there's plenty of time for more damage and disrepair. And so we want to stay on top of it. But right now, fortunately, it seems like we've avoided what could have been much, much worse.
We had some idea late last week that it would be a rainy Saturday. When did you know for sure that you were going to be, you know, on the job even more so than usual this weekend?
Yeah, we knew it was going to be rainy even on Saturday night, but certainly didn't expect 7 or 8 inches of rain. And, you know, I think even south of us, they were closer to almost a foot of rain. And then another 3 inches tonight. I don't think anybody anticipated quite that much. So it wasn't until Sunday morning that we really started to get a read on what was happening. And, you know, I think people forget that when that rain comes, it's bad. But it's really in the next 24 to 72 hours when all of the washout begins. And we're kind of right in the middle of that. And, of course, now with another 3 inches last night, that'll extend that timeline. So we'll really be able to get a full comprehensive look at the damage probably toward the middle or back half of this week. But, yeah, it's been quite hectic the last 24 to 30 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any aid? I mean, you have enough to deal with, but it seems that there are Milwaukee County, Waukesha County perhaps, so we're harder hit. Is there any aid that Washington County is able to provide those communities, or are you going to be busy taking care of your own for the next few weeks?
Yeah, actually, amongst the very first communications I had out were with the county executive in Waukesha County and the county executive in Milwaukee County offering our support and assistance. It sounds like late yesterday afternoon or early evening, Governor Evers deployed the National Guard to Milwaukee County, at least. I hope that happens with Waukesha County as well. I'm not sure why it was one county specific, and who knows, maybe in the declaration it was more broad. But, we are certainly here for our neighbors. Our resources right now, of course, are Washington County focused, but relative to what our neighbors to the south are experiencing, we're certainly stand ready to be able to deploy resources to help them too.
Any idea how long it might take to recover?
Yeah, it's going to be some time. Some of the smaller culverts and washout of roads and things like that can probably be handled by measuring in days. But the bridge in Farmington, that we're going to be measuring in weeks and hopefully not months. That bridge was actually just installed about 3 or 4 years ago by the town, and the abutment has actually shifted, meaning the bridge kind of tilted itself. I shot a video and posted it on Facebook. You can actually see where the abutment, which is where the road meets the bridge itself, the bridge deck. The deck is tilted and there's a small crack exposed now. So that more than likely the entirety of that bridge is going to have to be pulled out. The abutment, which is kind of the walls of the bridge, are going to have to be rebuilt completely. And then the deck is going to have to be reinstalled. So that is typically a 5 or 6 month process. This is exactly the kind of reason you use an emergency declaration. We want to get that up as quickly as we can. So hopefully, again, we're talking weeks and not months, but we'll move at the speed of business by working with our contractor partners and, and all of the neighbors, and as well as the town, to be able to expedite that as fast as we possibly can.
They're calling this, as you mentioned, a thousand-year rain event and flooding event. How much of a part of a job, the job of county executive and executive at any level of government, to be prepared for something like this to happen? Natural disasters don't give us a lot of advance notice, but I imagine there are meetings and discussions all the time making sure that your community is ready when the worst does happen.
Yeah, it is a big portion of what I do as county executive, and specifically the Emergency Operations Center in moments like this. For us, fortunately, it's not quite to that scale. I know in Waukesha and Milwaukee, both have set up their Emergency Operations Center. But the unfortunate irony of this, the timing of this, is it happens to be National Emergency Management Awareness Month, and we just were tweeting about this or putting it out on social media within the last couple of days. So this is exactly the kind of example for those are the kind of expenses and the kind of department that is generally flying under the radar, and people don't think about it or see it until you get instances like this, or the multiple tornadoes that you guys have experienced in Dodge County in the last couple of months. So I got to give a big shout out to Dustin Lofi and our emergency management team, and Ms. Pulvermacher over in Dodge County. They do a fantastic job behind the scenes of always kind of having ourselves and our resources prepared to deploy in these situations. And then when the time comes, they're fantastic. It's having those relationships in every municipality, in all the surrounding counties. It's super important that happens so that when we get into crises and you got to move really, really fast, you don't have to go searching for who's the person I'm supposed to call and where's the road that I'm supposed to see. And they make all of that move as seamlessly as possible. So we're very grateful for their work, and this is just one example of it.
We're talking to Washington County Executive Josh Shulman about recovery from this weekend's severe weather. We're going to take a break right here, then be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Professional wrestling is coming back to Good Karma Brands Park at the Dodge County Fair Saturday, August 16th, as Frozen Tundra Wrestling presents Radio Park Rumble 2. See four-time WWE Tag Team Champ Heath Slater in action, and from 3 till 5, you'll have a chance for a free photo and autograph before the show. The Radio Park Rumble at the Dodge County Fair is presented by Gruber Law Office, Johnny's Lounge, United Electric, and EK. Bell time is 5 o'clock.
Stand up for your right to be lazy by sitting down and reclining back. Embrace your lazy moments by getting comfy in Lazy Boy Furniture at McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. Celebrate the art of relaxation on National Lazy Day. Create your perfect sanctuary and unwind in ultimate comfort with Lazy Boy recliners. Recharge after a long day in a cozy reclining sofa. Did you ever wish your recliner was easier to get out of or sit higher off the floor? Lazy Boy has a tall base option. We can also turn a rocker recliner into a swivel rocker recliner. With power reclining furniture, you can experience relaxation by simply pushing a button to raise your footrest or tilt the back. Push more buttons and you can adjust the headrest and lumbar support. Long live the lazy. Lazy Boy Furniture at McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam.
McKinstry's Home Furnishings, year after year. McKinstry's.
Beaver Dam Unified School District Superintendent Marcus Stefano joins us this Thursday at 11:10 a.m. at the Dodge County Fair, live at the Good Karma Brands Park at the WDS Construction Stage, presented by Newman Pools. Mark will discuss back-to-school updates and celebrate the amazing Beaver Dam students representing at the fair. Parents, partners, and community members alike can hear what's ahead for the 2025-26 school year. Let's talk live with Beaver Dam Unified School District Superintendent Marcus Stefano Thursday at the Dodge County Fair.
You know that old Wisconsin saying, if you don't like the weather, just wait a few minutes. Well, JB Mechanical is here to ensure your home's heating and cooling system is ready for all of it. As your trusted local HVAC expert, JB Mechanical installs top-of-the-line systems to keep your home comfortable no matter what Mother Nature throws at you. From chilly mornings to warm afternoons, they've got you covered with precision, care, and expert service. Invest in your comfort today and give JB Mechanical a call online at jbmacllc.com, your proud trained dealer.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
We are back on 95.3 WBEV for our last segment of Community Comment. Here's Terry Bell.
Very much, Ashley. We're talking with Washington County Executive Josh Showman. Maybe you have a question or a comment of your own for Josh. If so, you can call the program at 920-887-9595. That's a call or a text, 920-887-9595. You can call us right here at the WBEV studios at 885-4446. You know, Washington County around Wisconsin, we all know well, it's a very key suburban Milwaukee area county, but what people may lose sight of the fact that it's also a very important agricultural area. And how did the farmers come out of this, that you know, at this early stage of the game?
Yeah, thanks for asking. People do often forget, we kind of get lost in the shuffle of the Milwaukee area, but the reality is, as many of your listeners know, our western border has more in common with Dodge County than it does with Milwaukee County, and the same thing is true in the northern part of our county. So, you know, I own an 80-acre farm myself, and in conversations with the organic farmer that manages our property, and then some of my neighbors, of course, this was quite devastating at a number of levels. We needed the rain. We just didn't need quite that much rain. And so a lot of standing water in a number of the fields. I know a number of farmers who were trying like crazy to hustle and get their hay off the fields as quick as they could, and they just lost a whole bunch of bales because they couldn't get it off quick enough when all this rain was projected and then showed up. So there definitely will be damage there, but, you know, fortunately, it's been a good year for hay, and a lot of the barns are quite full. So, as always, could have been worse, but it'll be a difficult process nonetheless. Hopefully, we don't get too much more rain now in the next week or two, and this can subside, and we can kind of get back to normal growing season and hopefully be able to have a healthy harvest at the end of the year.
I'm thinking the main concern right now would be how this has affected the corn crop and other crops that have yet to be harvested.
Yeah, no doubt about it. My farm in particular is actually quite gravelly, so that's one thing. But some of the more low-lying areas could have standing water for quite some time. So might have a heck of an impact that goes far beyond the month of August. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the regularly scheduled work that Washington County has before it. And like all around Wisconsin, Washington County is very much working on its budget. So what sorts of things are you sussing out at this point?
Yeah, that's right. We are in our budget process, but for us, what's different than most other counties is we do a biennial budget process, similar to the state. So this budget for us will include both 2026 and 2027, and we are absolutely in the throes of it. In between conversations about flooding, I just sat down for about an hour and a half and went through conversations about budget process. And, you know, counties in particular, we are an arm of the state. We carry out state programs across almost all of our the county departments. And so for us, we rely heavily on both state and federal funding. So the impacts of the One Big Beautiful Bill and the state budget are significant for us. Unfortunately, with regards to the state budget, counties had been asking for about a $70 million allocation to bring the funding for the court system in parity. So the state court system operates within county courthouses, and it was supposed to be a 50-50 venture when it was created back in the 70s, and it's really turned into about an 80-20 prospect, where counties are covering about 80% of the costs of allowing for the states to operate the courts within our courthouses. So that $70 million request ended up turning into a $10 million allocation in the state budget process, and that was quite a pill to swallow for most counties. So for Washington County, we were anticipating somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 million from that ask, and the $10 million that was allocated statewide probably results in about $150,000. So quite a far departure from what we originally had hoped for, and that's putting a heck of a lot of pressure on the rest of our county budget. In sum, we had about a $3 million budget gap, revenues to expenses. To put that in context, normally it's closer to half of that, about $1.5 million. So, you know, the cost to continue, keep the lights on and give everybody raises and absorb health insurance increases and all of that is always a challenge. But when you've got a partner who's not living up to that end of the bargain, it's even more so. So we're working hard to make sure that that cost doesn't get passed on to property taxpayers. Unfortunately, at multiple levels, including school districts, the state budget shifted the burden to local property taxpayers, and you'll more than likely see school districts all across the state increasing property taxes. So we don't want to be a part of that problem, but we're hustling like crazy trying to find other revenue sources and cut expenses to be able to hold the line on property taxes. And I know my colleagues across counties all across Wisconsin are trying to do the same thing.
And when it comes to, you know, funding the justice system, what's maybe important for people to realize is this really affects people when it comes to the quality of, how people I'm fumbling for the right words, but, you know, this affects, you know, a people's fair day in court. And,
yeah, that's right.
And you know, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, you really hit the nail on the head. I mean, some of the more extreme examples are in places like Brown County, where they have such a backlog still from COVID, amongst other things, that they're talking as much as 2 years delay. And, you know, the old saying, justice delayed is justice denied. But when you can't move through the system any quicker, in large part because you don't have the funding to provide the resources to be able to do it, you know, it really puts counties at a disadvantage. So it's unfortunate that we find ourselves in this boat. You know, I give the legislature credit for making this state budget suck a little less than the original proposal that the governor put forth. You know, the governor's proposal would have been a 20% increase in spending with $2 million in net new taxes, $2 billion with a B, 1,300 new state employees, and take us from a surplus to a deficit in one biennium. The budget that the legislature proposed and ultimately the governor signed was a 12% increase in spending, and fortunately 300 less state employees instead of more. You know, that's better, but I can tell you from a county level, as a local elected official, it took me from the time I started at the county in 2013 until 2025 to get over a 12% increase. They did it in one biennium. So it's extremely frustrating at the local level to see towns, villages, cities, counties continually holding the line and being asked to hold the line And then you turn around and the state has a 12% increase in spending. It's, like I said, it could have been worse under the governor's proposed budget. So I'm thankful the legislature made it a little better, but we're the ones making the really, really hard decisions now at the local level. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure it doesn't impact our taxpayers any more than it already has.
Our remaining time is brief. Last time we spoke, I recall we were talking about efforts to meet Washington County's housing needs. How are those going now?
Thanks for asking. Things are going fantastic. We actually, since we talked last, our Heart and Homestead program, which is a down payment incentive, people might remember up to $20,000, and it can be earned back, but you have to earn it back, pay it back in some way, shape, or form. We had another round of that, I think about 20 new incentives we had enough money for, and we opened up the portal in 20 minutes. All of the incentives were applied for and approved out. So now we'll see if those folks can actually find a house that they can close on, but things are going really, really well. Our developments, our next generation housing continue to move along. And we've got people moving in just about every week. So we're very, very pleased. The result is this. A report just came out from the Wisconsin Builders Association that showed Washington County, statewide, building permits were up 8%. In Washington County, I think it was closer to almost 40%. So about a 350 or 400% difference in what's going on in Washington County, and I think you can attribute it directly to being much more developer-friendly and, more importantly than that, buyer-friendly, and that's what we want to be. Hopefully we can replicate that across the rest of the state.
Josh Shulman is the Washington County Executive. Thank you for time well spent this morning, Josh.
Yes, thanks for having me, and everybody have a great time at the Dodge County Fair.
You've been listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.